Today on Real Radio.
Where the gospel is not, that land, that people, that person, that home is open to demonic activity. Now, you may right now, and I can't even understand this, you might right now say, oh, wait a minute, I don't believe in demons. But you'll go and you'll believe in flying saucers, you know, landing, making skid marks in Nebraska, you know, and all these stupid things. Oh, I don't believe in demons. Why? Can't see them. Well, I can't see oxygen flowing by either, but I believe it.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. We're hearing a study called A Church on the Move. It's a look at the first 8 verses of Acts chapter 8. Saul was overseeing a vigorous campaign to persecute believers in Jerusalem. But by that time, so many had received Christ that those outside of the city of Jerusalem continued to evangelize, so much that Saul's efforts were ineffective. It's a wonderful commentary on how God's Holy Spirit works and that there's nothing anyone can do to thwart him. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs continuing in his presentation called A Church on the Move.
Listen, if God is speaking to you, obey him. It's much easier that way. Oh, I don't want to. Well, God loves you so much that he's going to push you. He'll give you a little scoot. So listen to him. Follow him. Philip gets a prompting from the Holy Spirit. Hey, why don't you go down and preach? All right. He goes. I love this guy. He'd rather try than not try at all. I respect that. There was a woman that came up to me not too long ago, and she said, you know what? I feel really bad because I signed up for the children's ministry, and I really thought the Lord was leading me in that direction, and I tried for a whole month, and it just didn't work out, and I don't think I'm cut out for it. You know, I feel bad. I go, why do you feel bad? There's 1,000 people sitting here that maybe haven't even tried yet, and at least you tried and you found out. Look, this lady knows something that you and I don't know, and she knows that she's not supposed to be in the children's ministry. Gosh, I keep saying women. Maybe she's supposed to be in the women's ministry. She knows that with the ministries in this church, she's not to be in the children's ministry. You know, that is to be respected and that is to be applauded because she stepped out and it didn't work. And so she backs up now and knows, well, gosh, I guess I don't go that way. But a lot of people just, well, I'm not going to step out at all because I might find out something. So I'm just going to sit. And we need to be careful about that. Jesus is concerning those that he's invested talents into. They buried the talents and sit on it. And when the Lord comes back, he wants to collect what he's deposited in your life. And we don't give him anything. We don't move at all. We're afraid we might look stupid. You know, that's absolute pride and arrogance. We walk about and think that we're so humble. We're not so humble. We want to think that we're humble. And if we think that we're humble, that shows how prideful we are because we're proud because we're humble. And if we're proud because we're humble, we're not really humble at all, but we're proud. We're to do. Now, God doesn't need you to build his kingdom. He allows you to build his kingdom, but he doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. He can replace us in a moment. He gives you and I the opportunity to invest. If somebody came up to you and I right now and they said, hey, look, you know what? If you spend $500 right now, I will guarantee in writing that you'll make $15,000 in a month off of this investment. Guaranteed. And if I, here's $15,000 in the bank that if even if it falls apart, I'll give you 15 grand. What would you do? Well, the first thing, I can feel it in this church already. I feel it too. It's like, nothing can be that good. show me such an investor. But you would invest. That's a great deal. You would do that. The Lord says, you know what? You have a great mind. You're analytical. You love numbers. And I've got a plan for that in my kingdom. And it may be an accountant at IBM. And you are to grow there. You are to be an evangelist. You're to be a Philip there. You may be a wonderful, loving mother or father, and you're home with your children. And God has gifted you and just caused your heart to just be enlarged for your children. God has given you that gift. Use it there. Use it to the fullest. But use it. The Lord promotes Philip and uses him beautifully in this ministry here. And so it says that in verse 5, then Philip went down into the city of Samaria and preached Christ, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Hearing and seeing the miracles. How do you hear a miracle? You might want to circle that in your Bible. It means that they heard the miraculous vocal gifts, teaching, preaching, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, tongue, interpretation of tongues, the vocal gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so, it says, verse 7, for unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed, and the lame were healed. It says that there was great joy in that city. Well, I better hope so. You want to know something about Samaria? Get this. You notice in your Bible how it says that he went down to Samaria? Samaria is north of Jerusalem. How do you go down? The word means down in elevation. Isn't that neat how accurate the Bible is? Down in elevation, down to Samaria. Why did Philip do that? Because you're not supposed to go to Samaria. It's the place that the Jews in Jerusalem considered dogs. Samaritans were people who were half-breeds. They were part Hebrew, part Gentile. And so the pure Jews called them dogs. You don't go. Remember when Jesus gave the parable, the story about the Good Samaritan? You and I don't understand the slap in the face that was to that culture. Nobody got near Samaritans. Samaritans were, you're not to know them. And when Jesus says, you know what? A priest walked by, a Levi, walked on the other side of that poor broken man. This guy walked by, that guy walked by, and then a Samaritan came. And everybody in the crowd would have went, ew, Samaritan. Yeah. And then Jesus said, and he's the one that gave love and attention to that poor man who was wounded. And they went, he shouldn't say that about Samaritans because that was a really nice thing that he just said about them. You see, that's the flavor that it took on in that crowd. I love John chapter 4. Jesus, it says in the scripture, must go down to Samaria. He must go to Samaria. Why? You're not supposed to go there if you're a Jew. And Jesus being a rabbi and all, why? Because the Lord is not a respecter of persons. I love God's sunglasses. You put God's sunglasses on, and everybody is not black, everybody is not white, everybody is not red, everybody is not brown, everybody is not yellow. Everybody in God's glasses are saved or unsaved creations of His. And if we would ever wake up out of this ignorant stupidity that is satanic of racism and get smart, we would realize that the different colors that people have and the different hair natural styles or this or that or the other thing or facial features or any other feature is something that came about post Genesis, as man was brought into various places of this created world and have adapted to those environments, has nothing to do with how somebody was created. All men, it says, were created equal. It's bizarre. It's naive. It's stupid to think, well, they're better or they're less. Absolutely not. God looks across humanity and he goes, I love them. And we say, which one? Which one? Who? And he says, them. All of them. All of the above. But you see, the Jews don't go talk to the Samaritans. So what does Jesus do? He goes down there. Why? Jesus had a date with somebody at a well. Remember the story? Jesus is there at the well. And this lady comes and she's got her bucket of water and he says, I'd like to have a drink. She goes, whoa, wait a minute. You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. We're not supposed to even talk. And what's insinuated in the Greek is that she begins to flirt with him. Can you imagine flirting with God? Hi. You know, behind him, he must have been going, if she only knew. And so he's sitting there and she goes, you know, you don't even have a, oh, he's, yeah, something like that. I'd like to have a drink. And he says to her, do you have a husband? And she's got to be thinking, no, I don't. And he said, that's right, you don't. Her face probably kind of hesitated for a moment. And he said, in fact, the man that you're living with is not your husband. Now she's standing up straight. And he says, in fact, you've had five husbands. And the man that you're with is not your husband at all. And she said, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Straightens up her act. He says, listen, if you knew who was talking to you right now, you would ask me for a drink of water. Well, you don't even have something to pull the water out of the well with. And he says, the water I give, you'll never thirst again. It's eternal water. It's forever water. It never stops. It's spiritual water. And what does she do? She runs back to her city in Samaria and tells the people, I have met a man who has told me everything about who I am. Is this not the Christ, the Messiah? They received him, even though they were half-breeds. They received him. Philip gets sent by the Holy Spirit down into this area because they are open and they're longing for the gospel, and they receive. And it says in verse 7, for unclean spirits crying out. The word means crying out is to shriek or to howl violently, wailing. They were given life as the spirits were leaving. These people were given life. They were made whole. Listen to this. My little daughter taught me a lesson this week that just blew my mind. I don't know about you, and it's cracked me up. We read Proverbs 30 this morning. Ants, not only this summer, as the scripture said there, are prolific. They have seemed to consider themselves invited to my house this summer. We've got ants everywhere. And I'm running out of diazinine and dynamite and everything else to get rid of these guys. And we get up this morning, and there they are. Well, she took, a couple of days ago, she took an ant. And she put him in the refrigerator, put him in there and shut the door. And about 20 minutes went by. Opened the door, and that little guy was just totally mangled from the cold. He's just stiff as a board. She pulled him out, and he's just laying there. And he was even kind of almost crunchy. He was hard. And she goes, she's looking at him, and she goes, and she starts breathing on him. And the little guy's antenna starts moving, and she's breathing on him, and his leg starts moving, and the guy gets up, and he starts praising the Lord, and he starts jumping and leaping and praising God. And he came too, like cryogenics, boom, right there, back from the dead. And she goes, oh, wow, this is great, this is great. And I thought about that for a moment. John chapter 20, Jesus breathed on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. They became born again in that moment. Where the gospel is not, that land, that people, that person, that home is open to demonic activity. Now, you may right now, and I can't even understand this, you might right now say, oh, wait a minute, I don't believe in demons. But you'll go and you'll believe in flying saucers, you know, landing, making skid marks in Nebraska, you know, and all these stupid things. Oh, I don't believe in demons. Why? Can't see them. Well, I can't see oxygen flowing by either, but I believe it. The people, it says here, were possessed, paralyzed, lame, and they were healed. Have you ever been to a mental ward? Remember when Jesus healed the demoniac? It said that after he commanded the demons to leave, it said that he sat in his right mind, he sat in his right psyche. He got his thinker back. I'm not saying all people in mental hospitals are possessed. I'm saying some of them are. And you go and you visit people and you talk to them, and everything's great. Everything's fine. You mention Jesus, and they go wacko. Why? Well, a psychologist might say, well, that's just because they had a very traumatic experience at church one day. Maybe. But why is it so repetitive and so constant? Why, when Jesus was mentioned with the apostles, the demons began to cry out of people and scream? We can go down to the mental hospital and generate the same effect. Why? I want to ask you why. Oh, I don't believe in that. Well, I'm going to tell you something. This is heavy stuff. Halloween's coming up. Maybe it fits. I was called out of the house that I was at to talk to somebody. The guy was very desperate. So what's going on? Come over here. Come over here. Went over to the side of the house. My wife was in the house. The guy said, I know that you know God, and I think I've just killed a man. I knew this was going to be an exciting counseling session. He said, I ran his face through the window at the liquor store. Then I pushed his neck down on the unbroken glass that was still in that massive pane, and then I jumped on the back of his neck. I think he's dead. And he said, I got to stop this. What do you mean stop this? I get paid to do this stuff. I can't take it anymore. I thought you were a businessman. I am a businessman. This is what I do on the side. I make a lot of money doing this. I didn't know that. He said, nobody knows this. I need help. And I said, listen, man. You need Jesus Christ. The moment I mentioned Jesus Christ, his eyes rolled backwards in his head. That fast. They were stone white. Then they turned absolutely jet black, like black marbles. Immediately, I said to myself, I am major scared. I remember hearing that voice in my mind. I am major scared. I'm not kidding. And the moment I said that in my mind, I felt, all I can tell you is like a warm shower just coming down over me, and I felt incredible power and incredible peace that I've never had since. And I began to quote scripture to this guy, and his body began to change in front of me. I mean, I don't mean he turned green or anything, but his body began to go into weird positions. And two voices, at least two voices, came out of his mouth that sounded like it was a pipe about 30 feet down. You could hear the echo. And as I was quoting scripture, these voices began to curse and cuss the name of Jesus like you can't believe, and saying that he was rotting in hell at this hour, and that he's not the Son of God. And as scripture was quoted, they said, wait a minute. All right. So he is. And I said, the scripture says that he's coming back again. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And at that moment, a car pulled up, and this person, as somebody pulled him in the driveway, the countenance of that guy totally changed. He was totally perfect and fine and normal, right in front of my eyes, totally straight. Hi, how are you? Great, fine, how are you? Fine. See you later. Okay, bye. I said, I'll be right back. I went into the house, and I said, Lisa, get people on the phone and get people praying right now. And you, she goes, what's going on? She saw the look in my face. I said, just pray. And I went back out there. And this voice came out of this guy and said, you think having people pray is going to make any difference? I'd gone 30, 40 feet away from this guy. He didn't know anything about it. But somebody went with me, obviously, or they were listening. And I began just scripture, scripture, scripture. And I want to tell you right now, I want to encourage you right now. I didn't have like a pull card. Let me see my concordance. Demonic possession. Yeah, hang on a second, will you? Let me get this verse out here. It was supernatural, unbelievable. Scripture flowing. And what really blew my mind was I had quoted a scripture. They had challenged the position where Jesus was. They were saying that he was in hell. And I said, he's at the right hand of God the Father, and he's coming back. And they said, no, he's in hell. And I said, he's at the right hand of God the Father. That went on for about probably close to 10 minutes. That's all, back and forth. No, he's not. Yes, he is. He's at the right hand of God the Father. No, he's not. Yes, he is. He's at back and forth. Tedious. Strange. And then they said, all right, but he's not coming back. And this man would not yield. Listen to this. When he was standing there somewhat normal again, I said, listen, you must accept Jesus Christ now, because if you don't have him, you are open. You are like a tent with nobody in it. You must get full of the Holy Spirit now. Come to Jesus. Receive him now, because you are possessed. And he said, oh, I want to. Gosh, I mean, I really want to. This guy's he's not on drugs. He doesn't drink. He's a business executive. He's sharp. He says, I want to. I do. You don't know how much trouble I'm in. And I said, what do you mean? He said, when I was 12 years old, this image appeared to me and said, if I served that person, that thing, that he would prosper me. And that's how I've made all of my money. That's how I've gotten all my power. But now, this image that appears to me every so often says that if I yield to God, he'll destroy my children and my wife. I don't care if he kills me. I just don't want them to touch my wife and my kids. And I said, you know, that's a lie. Jesus can set you free.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study called A Church on the Move. It's a look at the first 8 verses of the book of Acts, chapter 8. Just a fascinating account of how the Almighty Holy Spirit of God was working throughout Judea and Samaria, despite tremendous efforts to persecute and suppress believers in Yeshua. We'll continue with more of our journey through the book of Acts on Monday's edition of Real Radio. You know, we've been reminding you about the Southern California Bible Prophecy Conference that'll be taking place here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills in January. Here's Pastor Jack with a few more details and an invitation to the event.
Hi, this is Jack Hibbs of Real Radio, and I want to bring to your attention the Southern California Bible Prophecy Conference, and you can find out more about that conference at SoCalProphecyConference.com. I know that's long, but it's SoCalProphecyConference.com. We're going to have a great lineup of speakers, and you're going to want to hear from these people. From London, England, Jay Smith will be with us. We'll have Brigitte Gabriel and many others. Don't miss this conference. It's $25 for the entire weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday afternoon. You can get more information at SoCalProphecyConference.com. God bless you, and I hope to see you here.
Okay, that website once again is SoCalProphecyConference.com. SoCalProphecyConference.com. You can also get in touch by telephone, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.